This is episode 60 of the Photo Biz Exposed podcast. And today my special guest is Annie Zanazanian. She's the business, marketing and branding brains behind Yavant Photography International. This is a very cool interview. It's coming up in just a minute.
Is photography your passion, your life? Are you aiming for a successful portrait and wedding photography business? Or are you already on your way? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and related experts, sharing the facts on running a profitable portrait and wedding business. Welcome to the Photo Biz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm really, really excited to bring you today's interview with Annie Zanazanian. Annie, if you don't know, is the wife of the amazing photographer Yavant, and she shares an absolute ton in today's interview. You're going to absolutely love this one. We've also got the very first giveaway for the Photo Biz Exposed podcast. Looking forward to telling you more about that after the interview. Before we get into all of that good stuff, I just wanted to let you know about an email that I received from Trish from RT Photos this week. She recently, after listening to the podcast and being a premium member for quite a while now, she decided to kick off a pet photography business alongside her wedding and portrait photography business. And she went as far as registering a business name. She had some marketing done. She'd started to work on a lot of things to kick this business off. She's had T-shirts printed to go and wear on shoots and to look the part. And then she received an email, a cease and desist email from a photographer that had trademarked her business name, the same business name that she was able to register. So after some inquiries, she was basically left without a leg to stand on and has to come up with a new business name. She cannot use that business name anymore. Now, I'm unaware of the exact laws in other countries. I was also unaware that Trish couldn't continue to trade under her name after having registered it in New South Wales or the ACT. That was peculiar to me, something I wasn't aware of. She assures me after a lot of research that that's definitely the way it is. She cannot use that business name to trade anymore. So look, on one hand, she was looking on the brighter side and saying that, lucky that she hadn't gone too far down that road. But at the same time, it was a real bummer, and she's wishing that she had have thought of that earlier. So look, that's a word of warning to you. If you are looking at starting a new business and registering a new name, make sure you get that name trademarked. Otherwise, you will not be able to use it if someone else decides to go ahead and trademark that name. I'm unaware of the laws in the UK, Canada, and the US, or New Zealand for that matter. So depending on where you're listening from, you will need to check your specific laws in regard to business names, because you certainly wouldn't want to get too far invested and too far down the road with something like this and receive a letter like that. That'd be just terrible. I would really struggle to cope with that. It's hard enough starting, but having to start again would be very, very tough. So thanks, Trish, for your email. It was great to chat to you about that. And I hope you've come up with an equally fantastic business name, and things are looking good now. So you'll have to stay in touch and let us know how that progresses.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
So in the last episode of the podcast, I interviewed Lee Duguid from France, previously from Australia, who's a landscape photographer and dabbled in wedding photography, but realized that just wasn't for him. And he's changed his business focus and decided to concentrate on marketing to other photographers. There were some pretty cool takeaways from the episode for me. And I guess I've learnt more in the week afterwards from the comments. And some of those are in regard to the actual podcast, and also to things that we didn't specifically mention in the show. It seems that a bunch of listeners have used Lee's Photoshop courses and also had some other training supplied by Lee, and all had great, great things to have about him. So if you're looking for some help with Photoshop or landscape photography, if that really is a passion for you, then get over and check out some of Lee's stuff there. He's got a great blog there, some great tutorials, and also products on how to improve your photography, your landscape photography, in regard to Photoshop and Lightroom. What was really cool, though, was after having heard that Lee is only new to France and sort of trying to find a foothold there, listener Anais, who's previously from France but now living in New Zealand, sent a great message to Lee suggesting that she can help him out with locations and other photographers to get in touch with in France, which was very, very cool. Like to see that sort of that networking happening and listeners helping out interviewees was very, very cool for me. So it's really nice. I guess it's a real feeling of community, and I always hoped for that with the podcast, but didn't expect to see it coming about like this. So very, very cool. So thanks, Anais. Thanks, Lee. And thanks to everyone else that's left comments in regard to that episode 59 with Lee Dugwood. If you haven't had a listen, get back and have a listen, particularly if you love landscape photography.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
If you're a photographer, you've no doubt heard of Yvant. One of the best wedding photographers in the world, he's won a huge number of international awards. He's a well-known speaker and a teacher of photography with a unique style and a look to his images. Well, today I don't have Yvant on the show, but I have the person responsible for his success. I'm talking about his wife, Annie, the brains or the queen behind the business, the sales and the branding of Yvant International. Annie, welcome to the podcast.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for that majestic introduction.
Majestic. That's awesome. What a start to the day. How are you, Annie?
Really good. Really good. And, pumping away Monday morning, beautiful weather. So what could we ask for more?
Excellent. Well, look, let's jump right into the thick of things. And was I right in that introduction in saying that you're the reason for Yvant's success?
I really doubt it very much. It's been very easy. I've got the world's perfect product to market, so it's just easy peasy to market Yvant. It's all his genius, and I've had the privilege to sell him. That's all. Anyone could have done it. His product is too easy.
Oh, I think you're being way too kind. I know he's an amazing photographer. Do you really think that any photographer with his talent would be as successful today if they didn't have someone behind them looking after the business side of things, the branding, you know, and getting word out there about him?
Okay, Andrew, now you've really got to the crash. This is where, it's quite embarrassing. I don't like it because Yvant and I, fortunately, we're very much yin and yang, and we have the utmost respect for each other's expertise. All right, I have got a business background, marketing background, and for me, like I said, Yvant is a product. Besides being the love of my life, obviously, he is a product which I thought, well, I could really sell this, and how come people don't know about it? So I'll make people know about it. That's the way I approached it. At the end of the day, I'm a salesperson, a marketing person, and I chose that I'm going to do this with Yvant, the product. I approached it from a pure business way, and I don't know. Look, it's a very difficult. I hate to take it all onto me because Yvant's a genius, not just in his art, but also in business. Okay, maybe not quite in marketing, but it's a hand-in-hand situation, and I'll be honest, I won't take full credit for it. It's been fortunate that he's respected what I know, which is selling. And he's allowed me to sell him with a lot of mistakes along the way. And he's allowed his name to write on my mistakes too, many times. But I cannot take full credit. He is a good product.
For sure. Look, I think I pushed you straight into a bit of a corner there, which wasn't fair, Annie. But look, in saying that, when I've heard Yvant speak, and I've been to a couple of seminars and workshops with him, he does heap a ton of praise. And he openly says that you're the result, or certainly a big part of the result of his success. So maybe we can go back to before you were in the business. How did Yvant photography look back then? Because it wasn't Yvant International back then.
It certainly wasn't. All right, I'll be very realistic now. Now, some 17 years ago, I left a corporate career because we had just had a child, and he was 1 year old, and I personally could not go back to that executive life as much as I thought I would. Ricky, our firstborn, had truly softened me. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't travel into Asia anymore. And one day I came to the realization that I really don't want to do this. I just want to be at home with the baby. which is something very strange for us to have experienced, because Yavant and I have been married 33 years. And in all honesty, we never thought we would have children by choice, because I was such a career woman, just pushing the corporate ladder, and I didn't have a female bone in me. I was just a kick-ass, you know, Mrs. Thatcher had nothing on me type of a woman. And then when, lo and behold, we fell pregnant, accepting the pregnancy was a challenge by me, obviously. And at first, I had to have 4 blood tests to really be convinced that I am pregnant, especially working for Ansell. And it was bloody product failure. But anyway, so it really suffered me. Anyway, so when I came home and I said to Yvonne, you know what, Yvonne, I really don't want to go back to, you know, the medical world anymore. I just don't want to do it. And he said, you know what, at that time, Yvonne was in a studio called Astier Studio, and he was in a partnership with 3 other guys. Yvonne had started the digital imaging adaptation, and his 3 partners had not accepted it. I remember a time where the AIPP wanted to visit the studio, Astier, because Yvonne had won, I think, a couple of times AIPP awards for Digital Image Maker of the Year, etc. And they thought Astier was fully set up with computers and so forth. So before the bus arrived, Yvonne had to take his home computers, etc., and set it up, pretending that Astier is ahead of its time, which was so funny, but it was really Yvonne. But behind the scenes, Yvonne was having tremendous fights with the guys because he wanted to move forward, both in digital production and then capture. And the guys did not believe in it. They were still in dark room and film. So he was quite frustrated, Yvonne, and he said to me when I said, I'm leaving, he said, so am I. I said, great, we've got a 12-month-old baby, $15,000 in the bank. What are we going to do? So that's how it all started, Andrea. And Yvonne said, well, we'll just have to start like everyone else from the garage or from a bedroom, and we move forward. And that's when I think I saw that he's completely on the wrong path. And that's where I questioned myself. I said, you know, if I was a bride today, and having seen Yvonne's, he had certainly developed his signature style by then. It was very much fashionista. It was very different to what I had seen, obviously, at AIPP awards, etc., because I always accompanied him there because I just love being with Yvonne. So I used to watch other people's photographs and think, God, he's different. But what is it about his work? But it's different. It's different. It's different. So I thought, wait a minute, I've got a product here which is very different. It's got a certain fashion feel about it. It's got a different class about it. It's quite avant-garde. If I was a bride, where would I go shopping for something like this? And I knew that it was High Street Armadale in Melbourne. That's where a girl would go, with, you know, once she gets engaged and start shopping at the best wedding dressmakers in Melbourne at the time. There was about 11 of them at the time on High Street Armadale. So I drove down, up and down. I thought, this is where we have to have a shop. And came back and told Yvonne, and really, I think I caused cardiac arrest virtually. Said, High Street Armadale, what are you thinking? We live in suburban Roeville. What are we doing in High Street Armadale? And Astier was in Brunswick. You know, get down and just get realistic. I said, no, I really think you've got a high fashion product and it needs to be seen amongst high fashion so that people will relate to it as the same and will be willing to pay for it. He really didn't believe it. So I found a shop. I went and found a shop. I leased it and came home. This is all within a matter of like 5 weeks. And I showed him the paper. I said, look, I've hired a shop and we're moving to High Street Armadale. He couldn't believe it. I really think I saw every color go through his face, nearly fainted. He said, come on, let's go down and have a look. And hence we started with our $15,000 savings. Baby at hand, went to IKEA, bought some furniture. Everyone changed the handles to some classy looking handles. bought a few things, and luckily I sew, so I made some drapes and cushions, and we set up a beautiful boutique in High Street, Armadale, that looked like someone's future apartment, and yet it was a photography studio. And again, you know, the fights Yvant and I've had over the years have been incredible, but I've always won, by the way, Andrew.
I've no doubt.
So he said, this is not the way to set up a studio. I've never seen it done like this. We've never done this. What do you know? Go back to the hospitals and the medical world. What do you know about photography? You haven't got a clue. And the only answer I could give him was, I have no idea, but I am a woman. I love fashion. And if I walked up and down High Street and walked in and out of those beautiful bridal boutiques and the beautiful bridal shoe stores and florists, I want the same feeling to continue into our store. I don't want it to look like another camera store or an office. So he succumbed to it, obviously. So we set up this beautiful store with a huge window onto the street. But when you look in, it really looked like a beautiful apartment. And what I did while we were doing the inside, I put a lot of pictures on the instead of covering it with newspaper or some bed linen, I put a lot of beautiful Yevant bridal photos on it with a big letter saying, Yevant is coming. Now, that intrigued people over the 4 weeks that it took to do up the inside, that what is Yevant? Even the fashion shops, what is Yevant? They've never heard of this because, Andrew, lo and behold, Yevant was never known in our industry as Yevant. He was always known as Eddie.
Eddie?
Eddie the photographer, because initially, very early in his years, somebody said, what type of a name is Yevant? No one can say that. Call yourself Eddie. And that's how it was, Eddie. And to this day, sometimes at weddings I see the old car drivers, the chauffeurs, and, you know, they greet him as, hey, Eddie, how are you going? I find it so odd that after so many years they still know him as Eddie. So Yevant wasn't known in our industry as the person, although it's his Christian name. So when we opened the shop, he had like 3 display albums. He had gone off to shoot one of his last weddings at Astor, so I opened on a Saturday morning, and lo and behold, lots of girls with their shiny new diamonds were walking into our shop and asking, oh, do you sell this couch? Do you sell these cushions? They were looking at my decor. No, we're actually wedding photographers. Really? And then they would sit down and start looking and start loving, and I had no idea what to say about photography. So I would just sit there and show them the 3 albums we had and allow them to wow and love it. And I learned that what they're doing is ticking a lot of yes boxes in their subliminal mind. And that selling technique has not left our studio to this day. I have applied a lot of, and still apply a lot of, subliminal messaging and subliminal selling techniques, marketing techniques to our clients right to today. It's all about the environment, what girls want, what girls relate to, and then in between there, we slip in the services that we do.
Beautiful. So I want to talk more about selling to women and this subliminal message that you're using. But let me just take you back to when Yvant was with Astia, and you said he had a partnership. Did he have a legal contract with the partners, or was he just running a studio with them together and just left?
No, he had a legal contract with them, and he just was too frustrated. And I think it was one of those days, and the hell with y'all, and I'm leaving. Although his best friend, Andrew Esposito, was there. He wanted Andrew to come out with him, but Andrew was too afraid to come out, thinking, Yevant, Eddie, where are you going to? I mean, this is an established 20-year-old business. How can you start with this digital thingy, which obviously won't last? It's a fad. So he stayed back, and Yevant came out and said, that's it, break everything up. So his payment was, would you believe, 40 weddings negatives. 40 weddings that were shot. In those days, they considered the negatives asset. Yevant walked away with a carton of 40 weddings negatives. I think we still have them in the garage somewhere, because after that I tried to turn it into money, contacting each one of those brides saying, hey, would you like to buy your negatives now that your album is done? You know, this is precious. Nobody responded. So what they thought was wealth was worth nothing, just dust. That's what was his share he walked out.
Right. So there was no legal ramifications. He basically got the negatives and walked away.
Yep, that's your share. Get out of here. They put a value to it because, but in all honesty, they all believed it because they were very much in the dark. I won't say dark ages, in the dark room of photography. They really believed their assets were in negatives. One day they were going to retire off negatives. But wow, that was incredible. So giving him 40 such sets, they thought they're giving him a really good share, his share of the business, and just go away then.
Wow. Well, I know this next question is going to be a difficult one for you to answer, but let me just take you back to that time when you quit your job at Ansell. Your aunt was going to walk away because he wanted to go digital. Let's just say that he didn't have this unique look. He looked like a lot of other photographers. He had a unique name, but his photography was very similar to all the other photographers. Do you think you could still use your marketing and your sales techniques and branding strategies to still make him a success?
Andrew, I really think so. I mean, that's a high one because it touches my heart. Look, I've married the love of my life and I love everything he does. But being a businesswoman, let me put back my corporate hat, which I often have to do to detach myself emotionally from what I'm doing. I always have to say, okay, put the hat back on and detach. I'll do that for this instance. Yes, because I have been fortunate enough, especially by now, to have traveled a lot with Yavant, met thousands of photographers, and honestly, you can quote me on this, I have not yet seen an independent photographer who knows how to sell to women. They just have not quite worked out that their target audience is women, and talking the women's language, especially when, you know, the few months or the year between engagement ring and wedding ring, a girl goes through a lot. She transforms. She's become very sensitive to things that are pretty, things that are fluffy. She wants to talk about herself so much more. The color of nail polish, not that pink, the other pink, is so important for her. And honestly, I've been talking to judges who are about to be brides, brain surgeons. When it comes to being a bride, something takes over and a girl becomes a true girl. Let's never forget, when a little girl is born, even to this day, and this is throughout cultures, a mum will dress her up as a little fairy, a little angel. She'll play bride. She'll play all those pretty things. It's sort of embedded in us. And then we still wait for the man to ask for our hand. It's still the romance and the tradition. Like, why have a wedding cake? We do. Why wear a wedding dress? We do. It's still a tradition. Let's not fight it. So we, even though we could be kick-ass career girls, we still really want the guy to ask us. And then once the ring is on, we plan that one day of our life that I think from childhood we dream of. We've played Barbie dolls with and we've dreamt of. So that's when a girl will start looking at, in those days, magazines, the shops, the wedding expos. Now, thank God, to World Wide Web, it's all on the internet. And what is she looking at? What do I want to look like? And then this has evolved over the years to what type of show am I going to put on my wedding day? See, the days of the solemn marriage ceremony, a couple getting married, are way gone. Now the girls, and I believe thanks to reality TV and the fashion industry, the girls think, move over, people. This is my time. I'm a star on a day, and I'm planning that day. And I, it's a bit of two-bob psychology. I look at these girls, and I talk to them, and I really try and get in their brain and understand what is it that they go through when they're engaged, between engagement ring and wedding ring. It is about my 15 minutes of fame. Everybody wants that now. And they're not just getting married on that day. They're putting on a show. So I've translated this as she becomes a script writer. She's actually writing a day script, the performance of the day. Who's wearing what? What are we doing? What will the flowers look like? Who will do what when? It's a whole production. It's not just getting married. So to be able to understand this psychology is very important in our industry. And then to be able to speak the particular language a girl starts to speak between engagement ring and wedding ring is really a fine art. You really have to treat these girls differently. She is again different when she becomes a mum. It's a totally different language. You may think it's the same girl I'm talking to, but you're not. She's going through different phases in her life where her receptors will only receive the type of information she's become very much tuned into. I've explained this during my seminars to men who may not get this. I've often said, I love using humor. Between engagement ring and wedding ring, these invisible antennas come out from a girl's head and it becomes very receptive to things pretty, things soft, everything to do with wedding. And men often look at me and say, what the hell is she talking about? This is when I turn around and say, okay, let's just assume, men, you're in the market for a car. Let's call it the Audi TT. You love it. You've decided, yeah, I could do with that car. I want it. All of a sudden, don't you see so many of them on the road? Who do you think put them there? Annie? No. Your antennas are up for an Audi TT and you've become receptive to it and all of a sudden you see it. Other times, you're not in the market for it. They've always been there and around you and you haven't Googled it, you haven't looked in magazines, but when your antennas are up for an Audi TT, you begin to see. And that's the same scenario for a bride. So we have to start speaking that language in that period of time between engagement ring and wedding ring. This is something photographers have not done. They've set up shops that look like offices, that very camera shop looking things, photocopy shop looking shops, you know, the colors, the lighting, the comfort of furniture has never been really thought about. And yet, girls will relate better to something that is as soft and as pretty and as beautiful as a wedding shop that she's visiting throughout that time. So why shouldn't we be amongst that?
Okay, I've got a bunch of questions coming into my head. I just want to take you straight just back to that early time again, just for a second, Annie, when Yvette and you were both leaving your jobs, if Yvette didn't have that different style, would you have given him any different advice or could you have done exactly what you've done today?
Exactly the same, Andrew, because it was a matter of survival. You know, I made a lot of money in those days. Yvan didn't throw Aster, and he says this up front on stage too, but it is a fact. I was on huge salary. We made money and we spent it. We traveled, we loved fast cars, and we ate out in good places. So when the baby arrived, really, 15,000 is nothing in the bank. So it was pretty much survival. So for me, business is business. And if he's out, I don't care what style he had. Luckily, he had this, you know, like I said, but without being so polite, no matter what he had, he was going to be, you know, self-employed. I was going to do my darnest to sell it. So the best way to sell it was to be right where the girls want us to be, where the rich girls go, and make it look like something they can relate to the high street shops. And for me, that's the core of marketing photography. I wanted them to relate this photography studio to the big names they saw on high street Armadale. It's just a matter of, again, it's all subliminal. I wanted them to relate us to that. If this guy is on this road, must be good.
So, okay, let me just take a tangent then quickly. So if for the men that are listening to you right now, can they still use these same techniques or do you have to be a woman to do this?
Well, you have to, you know, those men who just say, Eureka, I think I see what she's talking about, do it. And otherwise, I'm sure everyone has got a wife, a girlfriend, a sister, a mother, a best friend out there. Advice to men who haven't quite got this, and actually women too, because women who've come into photography, Andrew, have looked at the industry and said, right, that's how it's done, so I'll go in, and they forgot to listen to their inner voices and say, gee, I wish I would have done this because I love it, but no, I better not because no photographer sets up this way, no photographer talks this way. So go back and look at your business as if you're the client. And men, if you obviously you can't be thinking like a bride, ask your girlfriend, ask your wife, ask your sister, ask your mother or a best girl to come in and be very honest. Even if the honesty will hurt you, be very honest and tell you what she thinks when she walks in and looks around. What does she see in your setup? It is very important. I mean, I've done this in many countries, and a lot of photographers have turned around and said, Annie, you've cost me a lot of money. Well, you don't have to spend too much money to spend, and some who have, they have. But little changes, like in Europe, they put photocopy machines right at the front. For God's sakes, or computers that, you know, the back of the computer facing the front door because, oh, they have these whiz-bang computers. They're such clever photographers. A girl doesn't care for that. She's there for the pictures. So do away with your machinery. Dress your place like a beautiful boutique. Bring comfortable seating arrangements. Make it look like an apartment she would love to be in. I think that's a key. And make it comfortable. And you're not there to do business. You're there to service. I refuse to have desks like offices with chairs on rollers where you're doing pure business. We are not the doctors. We are not lawyers. We're selling a service. So I always buy beautiful furniture, beautiful surround where she's comfortable. And first and foremost, we are listening to what she's planning and let her tell you the whole story. And then you start showing a product that she can start seeing herself into. Mirroring is very important.
Okay, so Annie, just before you keep going, because I want to dive down here too with you, but let me just think about the photographer that's working from home. Yes. They've got the little studio in the back, you know, or in the garage or wherever it may be. Can this still work?
Absolutely. You know, I've been caught once on a forum when I said, you don't sell Armani from a garage. I upset a lot of people saying, who says my work is not Armani enough? I said, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, in Yevon's case, I pitched him like an Armani. Okay. I decided to pitch him like an Armani. Therefore, I had to act like an Armani shop. And my messaging had to be right down to the pen I used in front of my client. Has to speak that language. I didn't mean that just because you work from a garage or a bedroom in your house, you're not good enough. Some of the most amazing artists have chosen to work from home. Therefore, my advice there is make sure it is separated and it is quiet. If you have children, dogs, etc., separate that from where the client is coming to see you. If you're asking for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 for your service, nobody really wants to pay that type of money to someone who looks like you'd only do this at home because you can't afford any better, okay? They want to give you $1,000, $1,500. If you're pitching for hire, I'll say it again, get out of the house, get a shop, look like you deserve $5,000. If you're happy with the $1,500, $2,000, okay, stay at home, but don't start claiming that you can upsell to $7,000, $10,000, $12,000, $30,000 weddings. It just won't happen. That girl will not shop at home. She will go to a store that looks the part. Okay, let's go back to the home situation. Smell is very important. If you've cooked before the client comes, make sure that room where you're seeing the client does not smell like the roast or the steak or the fish. That you had or you're about to have. The setup has to be, again, very welcoming, minimalist. Don't pack it in like a house. Don't bring in the sofa that you can do without and put it in your client showroom. On the contrary, buy a new product for your showroom, and then when you can afford it, start buying your house new furniture. Don't bring the cast-offs of your house or your mum's or your sister's into your showroom. It shows. Plan that room beautifully. Make sure everything is just perfectly presented. Things match. Things go well together. It is only a single room. It's much cheaper and easier to do. Make it pretty and something that talks back to a bride. It has to do that. But if it looks like you put the old dining table, some chairs, and the couch from the back with a throw on it, it really looks like, well, you're just doing this on the side. If you're serious about it, set it up beautifully. then you can say, yes, I've chosen to do this. That's why my prices are a lot lower. I don't have that many overheads. But look at my work. Look at my work and start selling. But she needs to buy you from the moment she walks in. From the moment that car pulls up in your driveway, it needs to be pretty and welcoming. It is very important. Don't leave the kids' bicycles outside and boots and shoes and thongs outside the door. It has to look beautiful. Flowers, nice things, hearts, whatever. It has to look like I'm a serious wedding photographer because I love weddings.
So what about if the photographer, they fall in love with what you're saying now and they just can't see their house turning into this studio and they can't afford something on High Street? Would you recommend they go into somewhere like a bridal boutique and maybe rent a space? Would that sort of thing work?
You know, the bridal boutiques, they really won't let you do that. There's two ways of going about this. One is you have your products, etc., and offer to meet people. Don't go to their homes. I'm not one who says go to their homes because once you step in people's territories, they own you. You could organize to meet them in a beautiful hotel. You can do maybe a deal with the hotel or 9 out of 10, you don't have to. Their lounges, etc. As long as you buy a couple of champagnes, a couple of cappuccinos and a biscuit, you're fine. And in a very classy way, you can show a beautiful product in a lovely environment. Again, see the subliminal messaging. You go and sit at the Park Hyatt in the tea lounge area and very discreetly bring out 3-4 albums to show or, you know, your laptop up with a slideshow of your work in a discreet way. She's associating you with the person who is Park Hyatt level. But your price also has to reflect that look. Yes, I don't have a shop and overheads and staff. Look at my work and buy my work and buy me, but you're not going to pay that much more for it. It is also very important that your personal presentation is completely perfect. Dress nicely, smell nice. You have to. A girl will look at everything from hair to shoes, everything. A girl checks these things out because she's about to give you a lot of dollars. So you can't just turn up in runners and anything that will do. Look the part, be discreet and show the product, and then really what your strength 100% then lies in your work and the way you can sell yourself. The way we do it, Andrew, and I'm not saying, you know, this, well, take it anyway, like the way we do it, we sell the experience of walking into a Yerevan showroom. That alone is a wowzer. Once they feel that, oh, my God, I love this space, I have ticked a very big yes in their subliminal mind. Then I start showing product. The product sells itself. Then the price comes. And when the price comes, well, they start relating, well, a place like this, of course, will charge this. You see what I've done there. I've taken it to that higher level. But I started off by setting up the image first so that I can dare to charge more. If I had had Yerevan's product and we brought it to our home, I couldn't have charged what I wanted. I just couldn't have. It wouldn't. The same product, I couldn't command. That is the key word. I couldn't command the value that I have put on the products. I think Yerevan is worth a lot more, but let's be real in the marketplace, to, you know, for God's sake. I'll be the first to tell you we don't do $50,000 weddings every week after week, okay? Realistically. So I have put a perceived value on our products and services because of the shop I represent them in. Let's go back into high-value products. For example, Cartier make watches, pens, and glasses, or reading glass frames. They give, for example, I know this because I've got a friend in the industry, so I've learned this from them. If Cartier allow an optometrist to carry their range, first they go, their Cartier people in their lovely suits go and evaluate the shop. It's all show, I think. But they do look at, you know, who is their target audience, who's walking in and out, numbers, obviously. But they're really looking. And then when they allow this optometrist to have the Cartier range, they bring their own showcase. They don't allow it on the same shelf as the others. They bring their own glass showcase and say, okay, this goes here now. You see how they differentiate themselves. And now with that, the shopkeeper, the optometrist can show you all the other brands that, oh, but then I've got Cartier. And he has to go in and pick that up. And there's a very high price on it. But he also has seen that, oh, but this is different. At the end of the day, there is a French company where I've met a fellow who's an international marketing manager there. A lot of these top name frames are made in one French company. We're all different brands.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, but it's the marketing and selling of it. So the Cartier showcase is what I've done with Yervan product. I showcased it in a very glitzy way to give it more perceived value.
The only thing that I guess I'm thinking of the photographer that's listening that it isn't the Cartier brand. He's not the Armani, but he wants to be a success, but he's just not at that standard yet. Can we still use this same information to help that business?
Yes, absolutely. This is very important. It's all in the marketing and selling. It really is in the messaging. What message are you trying to sell, to send out there? What message are you trying to communicate in your head? If you're wanting to charge more for your product, you've got to look the part, act the part, be the part, eventually be in the space that is the part. But a guy or a girl starting from home, brand new, start from your home and still look the part. Plenty of people, I'm the first, to encourage a new comer in the business. If you believe in your work, you've got a beautiful start, and don't fool yourself. Don't do this business for the weekend because you can get $1,500, give them a disc, and you're done with it. If you're in this business, be in it for the real reasons, because you want to be a photographer, you love weddings, and you just love shooting weddings. There is a passion there. Don't do it for the money, because it is not the most money-making industry at all. Believe me. Those money are those who really put in a lot of hard yakka, a lot of hard yakka, not just in work, but in every way. So if you're doing this part-time, switch off now. I'm not even talking to you, because this, what I'm talking, is longevity, sustainable business. I'm not talking about someone who can do an office job during the week and then do this on the weekend. This is not for you. But those who are saying, I really love photography. I live behind a camera. I see everywhere I go, I see a picture, and I want to be able to capture this for people. They're the people this audience should be filled with. You can do it. Love your work first and foremost. At every wedding, try and do something that's outside the square. Surprise yourself with something that you dare to do. And then start creating your signature style. Honestly, surprise yourself with something new that you'll do at each wedding. And then that becomes your style. And then you can see that you can create a repertoire that has that brushstroke of yours in there. And you own it. And when you own it, you will be really, truly, from your heart, so proud of it. When you see a client, you're not then just talking, how much is this? You're then talking about your brushstroke, your unique brushstroke. You start showing that passion that you put in that brushstroke. That's what sells to girls, not just price.
You really need to have something that separates you from the other photographers in your area. You need to have that unique difference.
Absolutely, Andrew. Otherwise, look, dime a dozen. We might as well just sell, you know, blocks of bread. It's all the same. And it's all about, you know, how much. And this industry should not be about how much. This industry should be about what I do, what's my brushstroke, and what I'm worth. See, you have to put a value on yourself. What are you worth? What are you worth? That's very important. Unless you have something that you strongly believe in, you cannot even put a value onto yourself. You have to have that. So go back to square one and say, I'm a photographer because I can make $1,500, give them a disc, and I'm done by midnight Saturday night. This isn't for you. If you're there saying, I really want to do this craft, it's a craft, it's an art form, I really want to create something because I see that others maybe don't do this. I see a style that I don't see often, or I love and I can do even better on that style. Create it, once you have a good repertoire, that's you. That's your signature. That's your product. That's what you start showing. And when you have that repertoire, believe me, you own it because you really created it yourself. You didn't copy from thousands of magazines or million websites. You've really put your signature on it. That's when you will see a difference in your own pitch, in your own language, when you're sitting with people, because you're not just doing the back of the dress being buttoned up. You're doing it the other way, your way. And you will speak a new language that sells you, and that's very important. Selling you, not how much is this product.
I love this. Annie, this is awesome. So, okay, let's say that I'm at that stage now where I can see that I'm definitely different to other photographers in my area. I can see that they're starting to copy me and I've got some sort of a difference there. What is the best way, do you feel, to let people know that I am different? How do I share that? How do I get word out about me?
That's a tough one because even at the top, Andrew, and I use that loosely because, yeah, once and I never believe we're at the top. You know, the industry has sort of put us there, but if we were ever at the top, there's only one way and it's down, so we don't want to be there. almost at the top is good enough. It's very hard to get the word out and out there today. 15 years ago, it was very, very, very easy. There were very few players out there. We knew exactly who's doing what and how. And it was a more contained industry. It was controlled. The AIPP played a far greater role at the time in our industry than it does today. Today, over the last 5 years, anybody with a digital camera from Ted's Camera Store calls themselves a photographer. You know, Yaron said something on stage not all that long ago, and I thought, wow, that's quite profound. He said, 10 years ago, I knew who my competitors were. I could count them on my two hands. But today, he said, I've only got one competitor, and it's an army of shoot and burn. I don't know who they are, what they are. You open the website, everyone's got really good pictures, much the same, different bride and groom, different situation, much the same, but for the bride who will not see the difference, they're bloody good. So who is my competitor? How do I give my message out was then my question. And I find that hard, Andrew. Today, I'm really finding it hard. We're advertising. In those days, we advertised in print media. We were in every magazine. Over the years, we've reduced it. Today, we're only in two magazines. And I know by the end of this year, we might, well, we'll probably be out of print media and concentrate more on the website, which means we have to put more of our advertising budget and dollars into hiring people who can do those SEOs and CEOs and whatever they call them and push yourself up because that's the only way. Apart from that, this is something I'm – good question, all right? Home truths now. When you went to High Street Armadale, we opened the doors and they thought, what is a Yaron? And then it looks like a display suite in the window. Every Wednesday for 11 weeks – I went and invited each wedding couturier to a private cocktail party in our studio. Just Connie Simonetti, just Lucy DiBella. I personally hand-delivered beautiful invitations with a yellow tulip because yellow was the color of our wall. And it was a private invitation. So when they did accept and came in, first when they did ring and say, I've got your invitation, what's this about? And I would say, well, Miss Lucy DiBella, it's a very private invitation just for you and your staff. There'll be nobody else there. Really? That made them feel very special anyway. And it was very difficult to say no to something like that. So they did turn up. 11 Wednesday evenings, I made little canapes at home. I had some champagne. They would come in and they would just look around our studio and say, oh, right, so you're the photographer. Gee, you do beautiful work. And I just left books and things, albums there. What do? Girls love to touch. We're very nosy species, girls, and girls love to touch. So what do? They're dressmakers. Everyone came in. They would start opening albums. I didn't say a thing. I just let them. And what were they saying? Well, they're drinking my champagne, aren't they? Gee, this is very nice. Isn't it beautiful work? Wow. That's really lovely. So they're telling themselves how beautiful our work is. Yaron and I stood there saying nothing about the work or anything. So when that, you know, awkward silence moment comes. They say, well, beautiful, congratulations. I love your setup. Your work is fabulous. Listen, we better go now. Do you think you could give us some cards to take away or brochures? Which was what I was aiming for. So what I would do is give them three or four. And they'd say, oh, goodness, that's not enough. Give me some more. You see? And then I would give them some more. And then I had my foot in their door. Then they did start sending us brides. Would you believe that? It worked. They sent us brides. Every time I had a Connie Simonetti bride, a Lucy Di Bello, an Angelina Baccini bride, Yevan would shoot the wedding. He would print me some 8x10s, and I would run down the road and say, hey, look, that bride you sent out, how beautiful was the dress? Oh, my God, here's a couple of pictures for you. Soon they started having beautiful, real photograph albums of the brides they had sent us. And Yevan made sure he shot like really beautiful gown pictures, not just wedding pictures. It takes a minute on the wedding day. So they started sending us more and more and more brides. It worked at the time until, you know, we established the brand and, you know, we were pretty much up ourselves at the end. But industry changed and we all had to adapt. And nowadays, there's too many players out there, a lot of players out there, a lot of very good photographers out there, and it's become a price war. So what do you do? How do I get Yevan's name still back out there? Guess what I've just done?
What?
I've gone and got beautiful, really exquisite, beautiful invitations printed. I found a place in Toorak, and in 2 weeks' time, on a Wednesday night, I've got 20 couturiers and venues that I'm pairing up. So one top venue and one top couturier. And we're sending these invitations out. I've got the studio manager putting all the names down now. And we're going to do a beautiful cocktail party back at our studio 17 years later to remind people that there is a Yervan. And you know him, but don't forget him. See how the story changed.
So you're still doing the same things and just getting people back into the studio that can refer you work.
I'm having to do it, Andrew, because even our legs coming into the studio nowadays, the numbers are less. And I refuse to advertise in any more print media because print media is pretty much on its way out. On website, how much more can you do? So now it has to be very personal relationships. And the best personal relationship you could build are dressmakers, venue managers. For us, definitely, that's the best. And really, there's so many out there. By this, I'm not saying everybody now start sending invitations to Connie Simonetti and Lucy Di Bello. For goodness sakes, there's so many players. Choose the type of market. You know, at the same time, these couturier numbers have grown too. Look in your area. Choose maybe not such a popular name because she actually wants exposure to the designer. So I think there's more value in going into the lesser names, the up-and-coming designers saying, let's do this together and get people in. After 17 years, I'm finding myself doing this again to get our brand back out there where these people are the influencers. Otherwise, really, we're all relying on websites. And, of course, best and foremost is word of mouth, repeat business from clients, which is obviously very valuable, which you can only obtain after years of service.
So let me ask you, Annie, what about, again, that photographer, that middle-of-the-road photographer who's looking to improve things, that they've got that unique style, that they think they're doing well, but they need to get... they need to get more work and they don't have their studio set up like you do, but they've got that new up-and-coming dress designer they want to impress or talk to. Could they take them to the nice hotel and you know, buy them a champagne and sit down and have a chat? Or is that not going to work?
What I would do with a couturier, see, I believe that the bridal dressmakers are your best friend. I'll tell you what. These girls are passionate. They're usually girls or guys that are very passionate about their wedding gowns. They put a lot into it. But these people do not have the funds to hire a fashion or a commercial photographer to do beautiful pictures of their dresses to make a catalog. But or nowadays, it's all website anyway. So you will go to this, you know, New Start for couturiers and offer your services for free. And this is where a lot of photographers said, for free. I'll do it for free. Why? I said, because you need them. You do it for free. Offer them that, look, the type of photos I take. Let me do, you know, a lot of pictures for your website, your brochure, etc., your advertising. Let me do it for free because I really would love to work with you, and then hopefully you'll send me some brides and you'll have some real wedding photos that I can give you later. If you find two designers or even one, it's the best start, because these girls would love good photos. They don't have the money for it. You've got the skills to give them photos, and your time is your advertising budget. Well, you have to have an advertising marketing budget, so it's your time. Put it in and deliver them incredible, beautiful photos that they will love. And each time you take it to them, why don't you go to Brunetti, buy some cakes and take it with you? Why don't you buy a bottle of shampoos and take it with you and say, girls, I love it. This was so beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I love it. And I look, I know for one that this absolutely works, because I'm good friends with a local dress designer in my area. I regularly take her dresses out. I find models on Model Mayhem, and I go and photograph her gowns, and it's all my photos hanging in her studio, in her boutique shop, and she sends me brides. It works fantastically.
It's not rocket science, Andrew. These are, the girls are our best allies in this industry, not the florists, not even the hotels, because every photographer has gone and knocked on their door and left a card or an album there. The best one are the designers, and because there's so many of them now, and they're the poorest. They don't have money for photos, so give them photos, be their best friend. And honestly, you don't need to go to the top names, because A, they've got the money, they're up themselves, and they can hire anybody they want. Go to the girl who is just like us, down here, real, is scratching for the next dollar but would love some photos. Be her best friend.
I love it. I love it, Annie. Look, just to sort of, I guess, to wrap things up slowly, can you just give us, I know you've got such a big focus on appealing to the women and talking to the women, and I know that you may be talking to the odd guy listening here. Are there some things that we can do apart from dressing up the studio to be attractive to the women? Is there anything that we can do, you know, in our language? Is there anything that we should be doing that we're not doing that you see?
Yes, don't talk and listen.
Just like I was bumbling then. So just listen.
Just listen. The girls between engagement ring and wedding ring, they talk. Believe me, they talk. Ask them a question, they'll tell you about their whole wedding. And I have seen this with a lot of photographers, male and female, that, oh, God, another story. She's so different. That's right, you're so original. But you know what? Be interested. Let her talk, because the secret there is, the more she listens to her own voice, she's relieving, like I said, that script that she's preparing for that one wedding day. She's relieving it. Let her tell you. By listening, you're not just smiling and nodding. She's telling you a lot of hot points, a lot of desires that she probably needs fulfilling. So after listening, asking a few questions, very slowly you start hitting back with little sentences that start fulfilling those needs that you heard in her speech. She's doing a winery wedding. She's doing a beach wedding. This, that. Talk about the time of day and the light and how well you photograph at this time of day and against the sun, blah, 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 at the beach, etc. All of a sudden, you're already telling her that you know it and you just fulfilled a need there. What I do is I listen a lot, and then if they say, my wedding's in a winery, etc., not the first album, the second album or the third album that I show them happens all of a sudden to be a winery. Why? Because I listened. I don't show the first one. The first one is one of our very polite, very clean-cut, beautiful albums that just sets the pace for them. The second one or the third happens to be something that they see themselves in. They mirror themselves in and say, ah, he does me. I get it. But it's all subliminal. And then talk about the procedure of the day rather than I do this and I do that and I can do this and I will do that. And then don't talk about hardware like the albums and the books and CDs and what camera you use. She does not care. She's looking at how beautiful you're going to make me look and how wonderful you're going to make me feel, and then show her, like I said, mirroring what she wants to see in pictures, and don't talk dollars. Do not talk dollars. You're not selling sack of potatoes.
Okay, hang on, Annie. So you're saying that when you're talking to her, you're talking as if you're already photographing that wedding and what you're going to be doing for her on her day?
Absolutely, because you've already owned her. It's all psychology. You've owned her. Do not talk prices. Price is ugly. The minute you say the word dollar, in someone's subliminal mind, you already see this, you know, the scratchings of the dollar sign, and you say 2,000, she's already embedded that in the back of her head. You don't want that to happen.
Hang on a second. We've got to talk about money at some stage.
Yeah, after she's loved and bought. I wait for the girls to say, oh, my God, this is beautiful. Oh, I love, I love, I love. The more I like it, oh, wow, I love, they say, the more invisible ticks in their head. And then when they want to say, look, let's start talking dollars, that's when I bring up price list out and I start talking about options, but not physical. You're boxed in this box or you're boxed in that box. I don't like packages as such and box them in. Unfortunately, that's a word that this industry uses, packaging. And honestly, to this day, I'm still looking for a better word. So I've come up with options. I rather give them options and say, look, these are options that you can look at, but I rather personalize. And guys, honestly, you have to personalize. A lot of people find easy way out in this business and say, no, it's option A, package A, B, or C, or whatever. No, personalize. Then you are serving her to her exact needs and budget. You have to be more personal in this business. So give them options, listen, tweak a few things. And when she starts twigging and saying, yeah, I want this and I don't want that, she starts owning it. See, I've even got a form in my price list, Andrew, which is beautifully, it's a blank form, but it has just titles on it, just for us. And then I get them to sit there in front of me and start writing, okay, we want the shoot, obviously. We want an album, obviously. We want this, we want that. And then I total it up and say, so you're wanting all these things. These are prices, but what if we do this and that? But by when they put ink on paper, they start owning the service that they want from you on their terms, not on the price list.
So basically you've got a list of all your different options and you get them to write down the things that they might want.
They want from this and that. I mean, it's like going to a restaurant and you've got a menu and you can choose what you want. That's the better way. But we know for sure that, you know, if we're going out to fine dining, we're going to have an entree, that's the shoot. We're going to have an album, that's the main. We're going to have dessert, that's the extras later. So think about it that way, but give them the options to choose from and select from. They don't necessarily have to have all of it, but most of it. Obviously, the first two are important.
Sure.
Another thing that is very important, Andrew, in this industry is today, with the power of emailing and then, of course, the phone, we all get the very same question. Hi, I've seen your website. I love your photos. Are you free on this day? What would be your price? Don't we all get this? Every single one of us get this. And what do most people do? Hi, yes, I'm free on that day, and my price starts from $3,000. Guess what you just did? You just kicked her goodbye. On the phone, yes, let me check my diary. Yes, I'm free on that day. Price, yeah, I'm on $3,000. Guess what? She can't wait to get off the phone. What you're doing there is putting yourself on an Excel sheet, okay? This girl that in front of a computer, they've created an Excel sheet and they've got photographer A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then they're just listening to prices, $3,000, $5,000, $25,000, $1,000. You end up on an Excel sheet. Did she see you? No. Has she seen your actual work? No. So when she comes down and says, okay, now I better decide which ones I want to see, she's looking at those dollar signs saying, oh, forget the 25,000, the 1,000, well, he must be hopeless. Maybe I'll go to the 2,000, to the 5,000 guy. Has she seen their work? No, but that's how she's going to decide. Think about it, guys.
So how do we get around that? What do we do? What should we do?
What you do is work your butt off to get her little tush in your chair. You have to say, look, we have such a variety of products. I really need to show them to you so I can gauge what you want. And then I can create the exact options that with our service and products and we can talk about your budget and see if I can fit in. You got to work so hard, like a second-hand car salesman, not to give the price that. It's very tough. Believe me, even me, I sometimes get caught, and we all fell for it with the tough girls. But bottom line, you have to talk to her heart and not the pocket. This has been my, what do you call it, quote or something I created this couple of years ago. Talk to their heart and not the pocket. So by asking more questions about the wedding, about her, etc., soften the blow, and then you got to bring them in. When they really push, I use this line, Sarah, you really need to look at the albums, touch them. We have this incredible range here. Sarah, did you buy your dress over the phone? You didn't. Come on, you went and tried some. You're still trying some. Come on in. It's obligation-free. Anytime, we're open after hours. Come in. Let me show you. It's very hard to gauge what you're really looking for unless I see and I show you from my variety here. When would you like to come in? And I do my hardest, and Danielle, our studio manager, our hardest, that's the hardest part of our job, staying calm on the phone and then bringing their tushes in, make that appointment and bring them in.
So what about you, though, with your business? Because I can imagine that, if you're having your van photograph the wedding, you don't want the girl that wants to spend $1,000 and getting a disc. So don't you want to weed her out from the start? You don't want her coming after hours?
I get asked this question a lot. Isn't it funny, Andrew? And it goes back to that subliminal marketing and branding. This goes back to branding. It's beyond marketing. That's branding. I've managed to pitch Yerman in such a way that it's the girls who see themselves in his advertisements, his website pictures. They conjure up that, okay, this is this is a Gucci level product. This is a Whitney shoe product. You know, it's like buying shoes. I know I don't just walk into a Gucci shop to buy a pair of Gucci shoes. I just don't, because I know I can't afford $4,000 for a pair of shoes. But I will go to, slightly less, etc. So the girl knows where she belongs by the branding. Mm-hmm. I have branded Yerevan in a way that they know, okay, I know what I'm looking at here. I'm not going to look at 1,500 here. I'm probably looking at 5 and up. And she's right. It is 5 and up. Mm-hmm. But we're not 25 and up. But sometimes the girls come in and say, oh, really? I would have thought you'd be 25,000. No, we're not really. This is it. We're also very realistic about what we do, because we want to be able to shoot every week forever and ever. We can't price ourselves right up. So this is the power of branding. It attracts the type of person. Now, why do those expensive shops exist in this world? That none of us, many of us, I personally can't go and just drop $2,000 in a Louis Vuitton shop for a wallet. I just don't. But thousands of people do. And they're the people I wanted to match with and appeal to with our product. Then there is, for example, then you can buy a wallet from Myers, David Jones, or Loa, or Kmart, because the girl knows, I need a wallet, but I know I'm going to spend $25, I'll go to Kmart. I need a wallet, but something nicer, I'll go to Myers. I need a wallet, but I really want something with a bit of a brand, I'll go to Oraton. I need a wallet, I'll go to Louis Vuitton and drop to enough $1,000. You see?
I got it. It's perfect. Annie, are you on the speaking circuit with Yerevan? Where can people hear more about what you do and what you teach?
I do a bit of, when Yerevan and I do workshops, he's got the first 3 days and then I do the last day on this, marketing, selling. I'm basically from A to Z of setting up the business to branding, and a lot of mistakes of ours and a lot of great successes of ours and what works, and then evolving. This has been the key. Andrew, Yervant and I are not where we were last year this time, nor 5 years ago. Every month we are reinventing and evolving with the marketplace. It's never evolved so fast. And it, keeping up sometimes is really quite draining, but evolving. So what I present at every seminar is something that is extremely current. I've been asked to do my own seminars, and to this day I still haven't, because Yervant and I like to work together all the time. and we're best when we're up there together. And it's a bit of a yin and yang, and also, you know, we're a funny couple. We entertain when we're up there together because we fight in front of the public. So it's best that we, you know, we do things together. I'm preparing something at the moment which isn't quite ready, is a bit of a tutorial on, see, I've called this pink marketing, as much as everyone hates it, goes, my business is not pink. Your business is not pink. So no, it's not. It, pink marketing is a, talking to women. And I'm preparing a whole lot of information, also our collateral and the way we do things, you know, the way I've set up price lists, because I've thought about this in a very different way. There's a lot of psychology put in it. Thank God for my 2 years of psychology studies in business psychology. A lot, and I'm putting this in a USB, and I'm hoping to make it available to those who want to get into Annie's brain. Or look, I love to do a bit of speaking if people want me, but I haven't dared to promote myself online yet.
Okay, so where is the best place for people to go to find out when you're going to release Pink Marketing, or find out when you're event speaking so they can hear you as well?
Go to our website, yervant.com, and then we've got seminars. You'll see seminars listed there. And then he's now recreating our pro products segment on our website, because he's about to launch new products, an upgrade page gallery. My Pink Marketing little heart-shaped USB will be on that in the next 2 months.
Fantastic. Annie, it's been an absolute pleasure. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm sure we're going to get lots of comments and questions following what you've had to say.
Well, look, Andrew, I'm humbled that you just asked me and that everyone said thank you for that. And listen, if you have questions, shoot me an email and then I'm happy to answer them, and then you can distribute those.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Annie. It's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure. Take care.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Annie Zanazanian. I think there were an absolute ton of takeaways. I would love to hear about yours. What is something that you would like to implement as a result of today's interview with Annie? You can leave those takeaways in the show notes over at photobizx.com/60. I truly would love to hear what they are from you. Also, Annie made a lovely gesture towards the end of the show. She said that if you have any specific questions, anything that you would like to ask her, maybe something that I missed, maybe something specific for your studio, you can leave those questions in the show notes and she'll be sure to come back and answer them, or I'll forward them onto her and she'll get an answer for you. So don't be shy. If you have a question that you'd like to ask, you're not going to get better marketing, branding, or advertising advice from anyone else. Someone who's, you know, experienced, totally experienced in that area, and not only that, has had huge success. So make use of that. Annie, if you're listening, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, for giving up some time. I appreciate it, and I'm sure the listener appreciates your time as well. So thank you. Okay, I mentioned in the beginning of the show that I've got the first ever giveaway for the podcast. Last week, I ordered a couple of camera straps from the new manufacturer in Australia, who's also a listener to the podcast, Justin Castles, and the new business is Lucky Camera Straps. So I ordered two straps, one for my Nikon D4, which I absolutely love. It's a lot more supportive than the camera strap that came with the camera. It also has a non-slip side, which works really well. But the second strap that I ordered is just too big, too wide for my Fuji X100S. So I'm going to be giving that one away. So if you want to win this camera strap that I have here, this very cool camera strap, just jump over to the Lucky Camera Straps website over at luckystraps.com.au. There's also a link in the show notes for this episode. Tell me your favorite color combo, your favorite strap color, in the show notes below. And if you're the first person to give the strap color that I have, then I'm going to send this strap out to you. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. Jump over to luckystraps.com.au. Tell me your favorite color. If you get the one that I have here, I'll send you my one.
Coo-wee! It's shout out time.
If you are a regular listener to the show, you probably know that before every recording each week, I jump over to the iTunes store and I check for any reviews for the podcast, because it's these reviews that help the show get found in the podcast or in the iTunes store for podcasts. And that's how new listeners discover the show, which is very, very cool. It's a big help for me and for the podcast. So this week I did check and there were two great ratings and reviews there. So I want to say a massive thanks to Burn and Dodge in the USA. Bernard Dodge, I don't know exactly who you are, so if you want to shoot me an email or get in touch via Twitter, I can add a link to your webpage or to your blog in the show notes, which is obviously good for you because it helps with backlinks, which is very cool in regard to the search engine. So let me know, Bernard Dodge. If I don't hear from you, thanks anyway. Much appreciated. And also to Albert Palmer of Albert Palmer Photography in Bristol, which is in the UK. Albert, awesome to have you listening. Thanks so much for taking the time to leave your review. Very, very cool what you've written there. Makes me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside and very, very happy. So thanks, Albert. Really appreciate that. And I have added links to your website in the show notes. If you haven't had a chance to leave a review and you think it's worthwhile, or if you think the show is worth rating or leaving a review for, just head over to photobizx.com/iTunes and follow your way to leave a review. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. I've added links to anything and everything that Annie mentioned in the interview. You can also let me know your favorite camera strap color in the show notes. Everything's over there at photobizx.com/60. I'd love to hear your takeaways. I'd love to hear from you in general. If you've got a suggestion for the show, if you'd like a specific topic covered or to hear a certain photographer interviewed, you can also shoot me an email or use the show notes. But email is andrew@photobizx.com. I know I've been terrible in getting portrait photographers on the show. I am rectifying that. I've been in touch with newborn photographers and also family portrait photographers, and I am working hard to have more of that genre represented in the podcast in upcoming episodes. So I've also got some really cool guests lined up as well. I'm excited to bring these ones to you in the following week and months. So hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and I will talk to you soon. Have an awesome week, and bye.
Enjoyed this episode, then head to www.photobizx.com and join the community of like-minded, ambitious photographers. Learn from the pros, follow their techniques and strategies. Get your photography business profitable now.